The season of Advent, which begins today, holds an important place in our walk of faith. It's a time of waiting that is intended to be full of anticipation and the intention of a changed world. A world transformed so that we don't hold on to and perpetrate injustice in the name of control, or flame the fires of hatred for each other, all in the name of holding on to power. Living a life of intention and anticipation is not just for the season of Advent, though. Jesus came down so that our eyes might be opened, our world transformed into a place that Jesus might recognize as home. So what would it mean if we examined what exactly Jesus' arrival might mean in our lives? What would it mean if we were to take this time to seriously let Jesus change us? I wonder if we ever truly realize that that was his intention, to change each one of us in such a way so that all people might come together in an open-hearted faith and a kindness of courage, shaping a kingdom into one of holiness where the presence of God is common and every day. No wonder the ruling powers, the Roman Empire, were frightened by his message to love one another as God loves us. No wonder there are empire powers today trying to sidetrack this kind of open-hearted faith and kindness of courage, the message of Jesus Christ, into some sort of flashy sideshow that draws one's attention for a moment of feel-good television, but with no real lasting or changed effect to the powers that be. What if, instead of being drawn towards, say, an easy fix, a shallow moment of feel good, what if instead we chose to come together as brothers and sisters in Jesus, and we decided to lift one another up in love? What if we decided to care for and act on behalf of the broken and the lost, the voiceless and nameless, standing beside them, beside Jesus? What if we listened to one another with the kind of holy intention that Jesus has for you and for me? What if we really started talking to one another, really started speaking truth in love? And what if we listened to that truth with respect? The last 2 weeks of violent protests, of children dying in the street, have shown me two powerful realizations. I will never be a person of color. I will never lose a beloved son or cherished daughter to gun violence. In thinking about what to say or do in response to so much pain and suffering, I kept wanting to talk to Jesus about it, to ask him what he would do, what I should do. Because for me, it all comes down to what he wants me to do and to say. And this is what I realized. I try my best to follow where Jesus leads me. I try to walk beside those whom Jesus seeks out that are hurting and suffering. I try to listen and learn from Jesus as he speaks word of love and courage to a mother who just lost her child to a too soon death. I try to learn from Jesus how to live a life of compassion and respect for those who are different from me. And in thinking about my message this morning, I decided I was going to preach about Jesus and trust that his teaching would lead and guide us to a deeper place of love and abiding trust in him and for one another. Jesus wants to change us, to transform our words, actions, lives, and therefore our world, so that his transformative love will turn violence into heartfelt listening. Jesus didn't have to, but he came into this world as a vulnerable baby so that we might learn how to trust. From 1 John chapter 4, we ourselves are eyewitnesses, able and willing to testify to the fact that the Father did send the Son to save the world. Everyone who acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God lives in him, and he lives in God. So we have come to know and trust the love God has for us. Now, I don't know about you, but it's hard, and there are days that I find it just too easy to forget that God loves us. Some days, watching the evening news or reading the news online, we can see so many sorrows and hatreds being asked for a quote and a powerful soundbite that it all starts to seem hopeless. Some days there are so many voices speaking hate and injustice and fear that God's voice seems to be drowned out in all that noise and violence, and we're left wondering what to say or do. Bianya Van Zandt recently went to Ferguson, Missouri. While there, she went out and talked to people, telling them that justice takes time and there needs to be open, peaceful dialogue. She said, "It's not going to happen next week. What are you going to do then? Participate, raise money, gather the youth, one thing at a time. You can do this. But you've got to talk to each other. And if you can't talk to each other, nobody's going to listen to us." Like the Apostle Paul writing to his friends in Thessaloniki, Jesus died for us, a death that triggered life. Whether we're awake with the living or asleep with the dead, we're alive with him. So speak encouraging words to one another. Build up hope so you'll all be together in this, no one left out, no one left behind. I know you're already doing this, just keep on doing it. Like the older white man who's lived in Ferguson all his life, who walked into a beauty salon and offered money to the owner to fix her front door, smashed in during the last 2 weeks of violent protests and vandalism. He didn't want to thank you. He just wanted to help to rebuild his community, to offer her words of encouragement. It's going to take trust and strength and courage to let Jesus change us, to wait upon the Lord. In the words of the prophet Isaiah, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." That kind of courage reminds me of Kathy Daniels, Mama Cat, a 51-year-old Navy wife who was up at 1 a.m. Thanksgiving morning this week to cook dinner for her large extended family, the hundreds of Ferguson protesters she adopted as her own several weeks ago. She normally cooks for them on Sundays, but this dinner was special for two reasons: Thanksgiving and the first family meal since Ferguson erupted Monday night. "Our souls are bruised," she says, "but not broken. And it's not a black thing, it's not a white thing, it's not Hispanic, Asian, it's all of us together." Like Paul, the apostle, to his friends in Corinth, "But for right now, until that completeness, we have three things to do to lead us toward that consummation. Trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, love extravagantly, and the best of the three is love." In Ferguson's scarred downtown, Darcy Edwin and her husband Eddie spent Thanksgiving morning painting hope onto the boarded-up reminders of a terrible week. "It's a symbol of unity and strength for Ferguson," Edwin said, painting boards over broken windows. "I couldn't think of a better way to spend Thanksgiving." So I think this is what it would look like if we examined what exactly Jesus' arrival might mean in our lives. This is what it would mean if we were to take time to seriously let Jesus change us. Because our lives together are made up of brightly colored strands, woven together into a community of believers by the birth of a small baby boy, just as human or you or me, yet just as divine and holy as our Creator God. From Oregon comes a photo of a 12-year-old boy standing with a sign that read, "Free hugs." A police officer noticed the young boy and struck up a conversation about the demonstration, school, and life. When they were done talking, the officer asked if he was going to get a hug. The boy teared up as he gave him that big hug. From the Gospel of Luke. And you, my child, prophet of the highest, will go ahead of the Master to prepare his ways. Present the offer of salvation to his people, the forgiveness of their sins. Through the heartfelt mercies of our God, God's sunrise will break in upon us, shining on those in the darkness, those sitting in the shadow of death, then showing us the way, 1 foot at a time, down the path of peace. And may all God's people say,